John chapter 14, and it starts out with these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings now upon your word tonight. And Father, there may be people here tonight, maybe people, Lord, that are watching online, or people that will hear this later on. Somebody might just up and listen to this message 10 years from now. If you're still letting us be on the internet, they'll listen to this and they'll get a blessing out of it. And Father, that's my hope. That's what I care about, is the seed being planted, because it doesn't matter when the seed gets planted, as long as, Father, you bring the increase. So, Father, we ask your blessings on your word tonight. The word can never be wrong. It'll never go wrong. It'll never do us wrong. And, Father, if we listen to it, pay attention to it closely, meditate on it, think on these things, Father, even when we're just going about our mundane tasks, and just meditate and think on your word, God, things will come to us that will just, it'll make us shake in absolute just joy of the wonderful things that you've shown us. Father, this book is that kind of book. And Father, I pray, God, that you would give your people tonight that shudder of joy, that something, Lord, that you've shown them in your word, how you've taken one thing and put it and added it with something else. And Lord, they never knew it was there, but it's been there all these years. Father, bless your word tonight. Bless your people. Bless this church. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let not your heart be troubled. The word trouble, if you want to do a word study on two words, write this down. The word trouble, troubled, troubling, troublings, troubles, troublingly. I made that one up. Troublinglinger. Any variation of that. And then you will see it associated with its first cousin word, tribulation. Trouble and tribulation. They even sound similar. Okay? So to me, they're like first or second cousin words. They kind of belong together. They have a little bit different meaning, but they're of the same family. So anytime that your heart is troubled, anytime that you are wrestling, anytime that you are struggling, anytime that things are not going well, anytime things are just, it doesn't look like things are being blessed, people are giving you a hard time, and they're doing it on purpose. Okay? Some people that don't know you just give you a hard time. Maybe they didn't like something you did, said, how you looked that day or whatever. That's no big deal. It's the people that know you, and they've got something against you, and they're going to go after you, and they're going to keep going after you, and they're not going to let up going after you until God makes them stop. I've had a few days of that in the last week or so. Okay, so just think about that. Here's Jesus now saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, it sounds easy. And there are some who would say, well, look right there in the Bible. Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. That means that if you've got trouble in your heart, that means you're not living right for God and you don't have enough faith in God. He can get rid of that trouble. That is not what that means. It means that when you are troubled and when your heart is in trouble and you call out to the Lord, God will say these words to you, let not your heart be troubled. And then all of a sudden, wing ding gone. I mean, he stands before Lazarus' tomb Does he do a dance? Does he shake fire sticks in front of it? And dance in front of it or whatever? What does he do? He speaks. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had one of them wing-ding moments. I bet Lazarus had doodads going up and down his spine before his spine was ever put back together again. And he probably come out and first thing he said was, can I die again so I can go through that again? That was great. Okay? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Right here establishes, and I know I'd love to take time just picking the Bible apart, but you believe in God, believe also in me. Underline this in your Bible, and right next to it, this proves that Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witness come to your door. If the Mormons come to your door, they don't believe that Jesus is God. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm God. Okay? And whatever you believe God can do, Jesus can do it. Whatever you believe God is, Jesus is. Okay? Is God eternal? Jesus is eternal. Is God everlasting? Jesus is everlasting. Was there a Jesus before the world was? Yes, there was a God before the world was. I mean, everything about God is everything about Jesus. And so, then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So now, let's take our Bibles and let's just kind of get an idea of what this is. I've preached several sermons on hell. And I remember one weekend, it occurred to me that in all the years I've been preaching, I had never preached a sermon on heaven. And I remember preaching it. I don't remember all of what I said. But I want to tell you something. There was joy in God's house that morning when the Word of God was preached about heaven. Folks, get your eyes on heaven, where your eyes belong. The Bible tells us that Christ looked beyond the sufferings and the shame of the cross to the glory that awaited Him on the other side. Get your eyes on heaven. Okay? Get your eyes on heaven. I will play a game with all my grandchildren when they come to my office for candy. I will, just out of pure meanness, block their way. Nope. Or I'll hold it in my hand, especially with Elena. And she'll reach up there for that and I'll go, nope. And you know what? There ain't a thing in the world that's going to stop her. She'll crawl up my leg. Mountain climber. Up my leg. Just to get that piece of candy. And all that is a piece of candy. Heaven's better. Amen? Heaven's better. So, turn to Revelation 21. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off the world. Get it off what's troubling you. Get it off what's eating you up. Get your eyes on heaven. Because that's where you're going one of these days. Now, why does God make us wait? Well, Paul says it in It's either in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. He's talking about hope. And he says, hope that is seen is not hope. Okay? If I could see heaven from here, then I wouldn't hope in heaven. And remember what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, did I say that right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is why God only let John see heaven, and he wrote it all down, and he gave it to us in the form of his word. And we have his word now. This is God's description, because the words that came out of John's hand were the words of the Holy Ghost. And so John is looking at this, and God has given him the words to describe it. And God then tells us that's what it is. How many of you have heard that song, I Can Only Imagine? Have you seen the movie? Okay? I've not seen the movie, and I will not. I care nothing about the movie because I don't like the song. And I'll tell you why. The song is wrong in its whole premise, in its title. I don't have to only imagine. I can read it in the book what it looks like. So I don't have to make up in my mind what I think heaven's going to be like. I have it right here in black and white. Okay? Now you may think that's being a little picky, Pastor Mike, but I don't have time to teach this tonight, but there is a move going about in how churches teach God, Jesus Christ, things like heaven and so on, is that they're turning people away from the static words of the Bible to the imaginative, intuitive feelings of our minds. And out of the two, which one's going to lie every single time? Our mind is. And yet the Bible will never get it wrong. Just so you see what the devil's doing. People are going to feeling, oh, I feel God's presence here. I feel this. I felt. I had a lady that I went to church here growing up. We grew up in Sunday school class together. We grew up in this church doing everything together. She worked in our daycare. She had a charismatic sister-in-law that she quit going to our church and started going to theirs. Then starts telling me about how she spoke in tongues and how she did this. She got slain in the Spirit. And I had a conversation with her and I said, if you can show me where in this book slain in the Spirit is, then we'll talk. Show it to me right in here where it is. If you can show me where in the Bible the evidence that you are have the Holy Ghost in you is that you speak in a tongue that you don't know anything about what it is or what you're saying. If you can show me that in the Bible, then we'll talk about it and I might believe you. She said, I can't, but I felt it. I know it was real. People don't trust that. Alcohol feels good, doesn't it? That's why everybody goes, ah. And the people that smoke dope do the same thing. Baby. It feels good. But it's a big fat lie, isn't it? So I'd rather believe what God said. Anyway, that's why I don't... When I first thought about that song, I went, that's not true. I don't only imagine what heaven's going to be like. I read it in the Bible. Okay? Now, Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Now look at this. Heaven is a holy city. Did you know that heavenly Jerusalem will not have a downtown glory section with human feces all over the sidewalk? There'll be no liberals running heaven. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. It's a holy city. It's a clean city. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, it only took me like 35, 40 minutes to get dressed for my wedding, Chris. And the rest of the day, I don't know what Lisa was doing. Okay? But it took her all day long. But anyway, God's been preparing this home now for 2,000 years, hadn't He? Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I can't wait for that because I'll be crying a bunch of them. And there shall be no more death. Amen to that. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any pain, any more pain there. Who's had pain today? You can answer this if you want. I don't mind answering it. Who's had emotional pain today? God's going to take all that away. "For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now, I want you to hold on to this for a minute. "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable snowmen..." I think it says that in there. "The abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." There's 13 things there. "Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Okay, now. That's your setup, okay? Here's where we're going. Revelation 22, turn there. This is one of those things. Sometimes I could be just like doing some mundane thing, and out of the blue, God hits me with something. And I'm just like, that is awesome! Used to scare Lisa to death. But this one I specifically asked for. I asked for this one. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from where? Where is it coming from? The throne of God and of the Lamb. Remember that. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit. That goes along with that number 12 we've been studying in Sunday school. 12 manner of fruits yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. I've had people, I'm not kidding you, I've honestly had people try to use that to tell me that God gave us marijuana. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So-called Christian people. So I want you to get this picture. You know, a tree, it has a trunk coming up, and it has the limbs and the leaves coming out of it. Okay? So, in this picture, in verse 22, in the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. So we have a river running down the street. A river of life, water clear as crystal. And on both sides of that we have the limbs and the leaves of a tree. Huh? How what? You're ahead of me. Just hang on a second. No, that's okay. I don't mind. I like it when people are that tells me you're actually listening to me. Okay? Instead of got your knife out, picking your toenails and cleaning your toenails off during church. I had a guy that used to run a homeless mission, and he said, when you preach at a homeless mission, that's what you got to get used to, is guys pulling their shoes off, picking their toenails while you're preaching. But anyway, now I'm going to show you how. When they pierced Christ, they pierced Him. Remember where your heart is. And remember what surrounds your heart. Pericardium. Which is full of what? Water, clear as crystal. Okay? So that both blood and water issued forth. John said in 1 John 5:8 that it's also the Spirit, the water, and the blood that bears record on the earth. Okay? So now, here's where I'm going with this. It took me a while because most paintings of Christ on the cross, for some reason, have the javelin or the spear going in the right side. Now, I don't believe that. I believe it went in the left side where the pericardium is, where the water and the blood would be. And there would have been, at this time, his pericardium would have been absolutely so swollen that it was literally, that's what killed him. It strangled his heart, choked his lungs out, killed him. So that by the time the spear didn't kill him, the spear going into him simply released the water and the blood that had already built up. Now, so there's that pericardium, which is a sack of clear water that surrounds the heart. And what is the heart? What did we say the heart was? The throne of God with its four chambers. When we go back here, in Revelation 22, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the what? The throne of God. Where's the water coming from, Josiah? The pericardium, where the heart, where the throne of God is. You follow me so far? Because on either side of the heart and the pericardium is the brachial tree. Isn't that something? Just like in our body. See, this is your lungs. This is your lungs. This is your brachial tube going down. And it has seven parts to it. One, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see, where is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are the seven spirits of God, the seven candlesticks. And when you turn it upside down, it looks like, that's how it looks now on you. When you turn it upside down, it looks like the branches of a tree. And when you put the leaves on it, it is a tree. And the river of water runs down between those two. And it was all shown to us at the cross. Amen. So, let's go back and let's look at this again. Maybe you'll get excited the second time. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Look at there. Here it comes, out of the throne of God. And of the Lamb. The Lamb's got it in Him too. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there a tree of life. Tree of life. That's how my brother-in-law died. His tree of life quit functioning. You can't smoke 3 packs a day plus for very long. Okay? It'll destroy the tree of life. That's what it'll do. And it all, everything that you're seeing in heaven, right here, began right here. A sign and a type and a picture and a shadow. How did Paul say it in Hebrews? That it was a shadow of heavenly things. And I'm just dancing thinking about this. Because I just asked God, what does that mean? Where the water's coming out of the throne. And then it hit me, Mike, the throne is the heart, the water is the pericardium around the throne. And when Christ's heart was pierced, that water issued forth out of the throne of the Lamb. And on either side of that river of clear water was a tree of life. And that tree of life in heaven is what gives everybody life on the earth, isn't it? Now, think about this. When we breathe out, what do we blow out of us? Carbon dioxide. When trees breathe in, what do they breathe in? Carbon dioxide. When they breathe out, what do they breathe out? Oxygen. When we breathe in, what do we breathe in? We're keeping them alive, they're keeping us alive. And they're telling us, oh, we can't cut all the trees down, it'll take away or deplete our oxygen supply. And I kind of get that, I believe it. But I'm not worried about it, because I'm going to a place where nobody's going to cut that tree down. And all 12 months. He said the leaves of it. Look what he said. The leaves were for the healing of the nations. What was it that breathed on the trees? Leaves. Thank you, God, for taking simple people like us and showing us some of the deepest things. I guarantee you this is not in any commentary. And I am not bragging, because all I did was ask the question and God gave the answer. And He gave it out of the Scripture. The answer has been in the Bible all this time. And I just woke up to it one day. And God has given us, who are of no substance of this world. That means the Pope doesn't call us and ask us what new gospel he should write up for next year. That means Joe Biden's not going to ask us our opinion on his new gun bill. Because our answer would be, let's go, Brandon. We're not the people who are running the world. We're not the people who get a say in what goes on in this world. In spite of what our Constitution says, it really isn't we the people. It's we the government. We the big corporations. We all know that. That's why we have a better place awaiting all of us. And don't you wish, don't you pray that all the people you know. Rose's brother passed away the other day, and they're going to have just a simple layout for him tomorrow down in Fredericktown, and it's not going to last long. They're going to do a couple hours for the family and then a couple hours for everybody else. And now her sister, they've given her a couple of months to live. And I got tickled because she's got the same problem. It's in her lungs. And Lisa's got, Gloria has an uncle. It's her dad's brother, Uncle Carl. And I'd worked with him a couple times on some construction jobs. He's a pretty good carpenter. But he smoked cigarettes and pipes all of his life. And finally, he got real bad sick and he went to the doctor. And the doctor gave him the results and he said,
stop it, and it's going to happen. Carl said, should I quit smoking? The doctor said, no, go home and enjoy it. Because it's not going to make a big difference. It's not going to stop what's coming. Okay? And to anybody in this world, nothing stops what's coming. You're captive. Already loaded up, headed on the truck, headed your way, and there ain't a thing in the world that's going to stop. Now you can climb back out of it when God calls your name. You'll be glad you did. It's your destiny. What are you going to do about it?